Take your Bibles, please, find the book of Philippians. Filipinos. Philippi ends chapter 4, please. Nothing is normal around here. Yes, I am poster child for such things. Look at verse number 11. I'll start there. Join me on verse 12 and verse 14. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction.
Keep your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 4. I want to give you a bit of a introduction. I ask that you give me the first 3, 4, 5 minutes here and pay attention very, very, very closely. If you miss the first few minutes, you're going to miss probably the statements that are the most life-changing that I'll make. I've watched great leaders and I've studied great leaders, both in the Christian world and military and presidential, political, whatever, business. I have scores and scores of biographies and mostly autobiographies in my office. Listen to this next statement. Great people are usually average people who do above average tasks. How do they do it? What makes people do what others do not do? Is it just destiny? Is it that just God allows certain people to do more than others? I don't believe that to be true. God is not a respecter of persons. Some of you don't respect anybody either, but that's not what God meant by that. I really believe that great people are common people who keep going when others stop. What makes a person great is what it takes to stop you. Great people face the same opposition, face the same problems we face. But where most people get afraid or discouraged or depressed and quit, they keep going. They didn't allow their fear or their depression to keep them from going on. I don't care if you look in the business world. I don't care if you look in the military world, the political world, or the spiritual world. These common people are great because, and you look in the Bible, it's filled with it. Common people who did uncommon things. People who have done great things, listen to this next statement. This is where we're getting into the sermon. People who do great things do not wait until they're strong enough to do something great. Let me say that again. People who do great things do not wait until they're strong enough to do great things. People who have done great things start doing what they can as everybody else has stopped. They didn't wait until they felt like they were strong enough to do something. They just saw a need and jumped in and did what they could do. Oh, the stories I could stand here and tell of heroes in war. Everybody's afraid and one jumps up and runs in and does what they're supposed to do. And everybody jumps in and follows. And boy, they get the silver star, the gold star, whatever. And we say, man, look what, And they said, I'm not a hero, just did what was supposed to get done. Nobody else was doing it. You see, they're not uncommon people with unusual strength, and they don't say, well, I'll wait till I'm strong enough to do that. No, there's a need. They jump in and they start doing what they can. Noah, he had to build an ark. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. And they didn't have power tools. No wonder it took him 120 years. Plus, he probably had to get permits from Jefferson County. David with Goliath. Here's a teenage boy. Do you think David waited to fight Goliath till he had been through basic training and special forces training? He's just a shepherd. He saw some big goon down there running his foul mouth against God and said, somebody needs to shut him up. They said, little boy, go home. And he said, no, somebody's got to shut him up. You won't do it? I'll go. What about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? By the way, I've said this before. Where was Daniel? How come Daniel wasn't in that list? But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they said, don't care what happens. O king, our God will deliver us. But if not, so be it. What about Daniel in the lion's den? He didn't change because they changed the law. Too many people are afraid of the law. Too many people are afraid of what man says. Well, it says, no trespassing, so I can't go soul winning there. You're not trespassing. They don't have to answer their door. Yeah. Well, this is private property. You can't go here. It's a private trailer park. They can't kick you out. Yeah. Come on now.
That's right.
They'll call the police on me. Good. Tell them what you're doing. The police will say, have a good day. Right. You see, these people did not get strong and then say they were going to go out and do big things. They were common people who kept on going when they did not feel like they could, but somebody needed to. I hear people all the time misuse Philippians 4:13. Look at it with me. I can what? Circle that word. I can do all things through Christ, which what? Now everybody look at me. That doesn't say that you can do all things. But you can do, how do you get strength? Opposition. God says, I can do everything it takes facing the opposition here that will make me strong enough to do what's needed to be done. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the strength to do what needs done. I'll give you the strength to endure the opposition so that you can have the strength to do what needs done.
Amen.
It's not that God wants you to have the strength to get to the end. He wants you to have the strength by the opposition so that you can keep on going once you get to the end. That end is not the end. It's just another beginning.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good statement.
Amen.
So, the doing is what gives us strength, not the waiting afterwards do it. God doesn't say, I can wait until I have strength and go do all things. God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means you're getting ready to face a battle. You're getting ready to handle the burden. And God will give you the strength to face that, get through it, and do what's uncommon so you have the strength to go on and do something great. Boy, that's good stuff. We have weak Christians and weak and wimpy Christianity in our society today. People are dying and going to hell because people are afraid to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Well, they might get offended. I'd rather have them offended and die and go to hell But at least they heard the gospel. Well, we just need to love, love, love. And if we live love, everybody will come. Yeah, right. That's what the sodomites say. That's what the alphabet soup crowd says. That's what the liberals say. Oh, we just care about everybody. How's that working for everybody? You see, it takes doing to have the strength to go do more. Listen to me carefully here. Christians sit there looking at the needs, awaiting strength to do something. God says, Christian, get off your blessed do nothing and go do it, and you'll have the strength to do more. We are like the person who wants to get healthy, who pays money to join the gym and goes there eating double whoppers with cheese, drinking Diet Coke, watching everybody, and walk out and say, well, I went to the gym, I must be stronger. Yeah, one in each hand and do double the work, amen? It's time to get off the couch, face the opposition, and get strong. Look at the parable in the New Testament. We're not going to turn there right now. Do you remember the parable of the talents? God gave, the man came and gave one man 5 talents, one man 3 talents, one man 1 talent. He left on a journey and came back after some time. The man with 5 talents had invested the money and built businesses and things and returned it with 5 more, so he gave him back 10. Amen. The guy that had 3 went out and said, I don't have as much as the first guy, but I can work just as hard, and gave his 3 and worked it and worked it and worked it and worked it and turned it into 6 talents and doubled the money. The guy with 1 talent said, I'm afraid I might lose something, so I'm going to bury it. I'm not even going to put it in the bank and get simple interest on it. I'm just going to hide it so that when he comes back, he's got everything he gave me. And the master came back and said, you're a fool. You have done nothing. Well, I was afraid. Isn't it amazing? Fear keeps us from doing something. You see, the one with 1 did nothing. He didn't lose it, but he didn't do anything with it. And he was not great because he did not do something with it. It is the doing with the risk of losing that makes you great. Let me give you some thoughts here. Number 1. This is an important statement. Please listen carefully. God gives us strength for a task, not a task for the strength you have. Well, God won't give me more than I'm able. That means then you ought to get up off the couch and do something. God does not give you strength for the task. God gives you a task. Listen to this. Not a task for the strength you already have. God doesn't look at what you can do comfortably. Well, that's out of my comfort zone, preacher. Well, then we're about where we should be. Shoot, if I only did that which was in my comfort zone, I'd be in my PJs all day or my hunting clothes all day and never work. Come on now. You cannot get stronger unless you add to the burden with resistance. I've said this before. Some of you parents, some of you boys and girls, listen to me. Did you know school is supposed to get harder and harder and harder and harder? Amen. Not easier and easier and easier. Amen. It's supposed to be hard. Well, I don't like it. It's so hard. I'll take your school problems over any day I have any day of the week. Yeah. Any of them. Everybody doing okay? You can't get stronger unless you add to the burden. You don't go to the gym and do the same routine every day whenever you go and never change it. If you do, your body adjusts and it will never get stronger. I know what I'm talking about here. That's why you change routines regularly. I was going to the gym 3 days a week. I have a four-day rotation on the routine I did because I don't want my body to adjust to any one thing. That's why you hear people say, well, it's leg day, shoulder day, arm day, ab day. Hello? Why is that? Because if you only exercise the same group of muscles the same way every time, your body adjusts and it goes into sleep mode. Yeah, shut up. Yeah. God is not just going to let you coast through life with no difficulty. You will never grow stronger and you'll never do anything for him. That's why giving your children the answers to every question they have, no, make them research it and find it on their own.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean ask Siri, Google, or Alexa, and everybody's phone's going to go off, I know. And that doesn't mean you ask AI either. Artificial intelligence is just that, artificial. We're dumbing down our world even more by trusting a computer and what it says rather than doing our own work. Well, it just makes it so much easier. Easier doesn't mean it's right.
Amen.
I'm about up to here with this AI garbage. Some of y'all parents are going to get mad at me for saying this. Your kids need to learn what the inside of a library looks like, not the inside of an iPad and asking Google what to do. There was a day when you had to go to the library and look up books and read books to get the answers to the questions. And we're creating a generation that doesn't know how to think. Let me restate that. We're on about our fifth generation that doesn't know how to think. God sends bigger tasks for you so you can rely on him more, but you still have to go through those tasks. God wants to see his power work through you. Brother Kevin, I don't know about you, but I've been in the ministry long enough, and I've been thrown in enough situations, I know what to do.
Oh, yes, sir.
But that's why when all the tough things come and the bad things come, Brother Bush, can you help me? Say why? Because I was willing to go through the tough times.
Right.
I'll never forget the first time Brother Hiles asked me to preach in his pulpit while he was gone. I was petrified. And everybody in the world, oh, you can do it. You'll do fine. Yeah, you ain't the ones got to do it. It was only one of two times where my knees actually were shaking so bad they were knocking. And Brother Howes was cruel. He asked you 3 and 4 months in advance. It's like knowing for 4 months you're going to have surgery. And they're going to decapitate you. Lord have mercy. Nightmares. You name it. It was like PTSD before the tragedy. Now, wait a second. Honestly, it came down to the day, and I was sick. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't tell anybody other than my wife. Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, you say that. You get up there and do it. Man, I've had nightmares. I can't sleep. I got up there. Say, what'd you do? 7,000 seat auditorium and there's 5,000 people there on a Wednesday night. I didn't see one of them. I just kept looking straight ahead. How'd you get through? Once I got started, I was okay. I just had to get started. You've heard me say this. It's like soul winning. My first thought, I hope they're not home. I'm like you. And I've knocked on millions of doors. And my first thought still is, I hope they're not home. But something happens. You hear the creaking in the floor, and you hear the door start, knobs start turning, and it's like your stomach comes up to your Adam's apple, and you're about to throw up. And I keep saying, God, if I can get the first few words out of him, okay. I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through there. Y'all get to go to church anywhere? If I can get that out, I'm fine. Everything else just goes. But getting to that point, it's traumatic. You say, why? Because God wants the praise for what's done. We shouldn't be looking for the praise of what gets done. As you add burdens from God, you add strength. Not as you get through the burdens, but as you add burdens. As you delete burdens by God, you decrease your strength. Well, I can't do that. I had a rule. I'd never tell my boss no. That was a dumb rule. But I grew because of it. Now, there came a point in time where physically I couldn't do any more than I was in one place I was at, and I had to go to the preacher and say, I'm about to die. Physically, I was. I began to list all the things I was doing, and he said, whoa, 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 whoa. He hired two more men and took half of what I did. I had a preacher come in. They were preaching in a conference, and he was criticizing me standing on the platform that I wasn't doing something that the preacher was doing. He said, you know, if you were right with God, you'd be up there doing that. A well-known preacher. If I mention his name, I know half of you would know the name. I said, what'd you do, preacher? I looked at him and said, if you were right with God, you wouldn't make that statement because he took it away from me. That man doesn't like me, and I don't care much for him either. I'm not his enemy, but he's a lonely old man now. So I said, first of all, that God gives strength for a task, not a task for the strength you already have. Number two, God's tasks will always be above your strength level. God's tasks will always be above your strength level. God grows you by giving you bigger things to do than you think you can do. God's never given me something I said, boy, that's easy. No. Parents, did you ever watch a baby learn to walk? It's the funniest thing in all the world. It's a good thing God lets us learn to walk when we're little, because if we fell down like that at our age, we'd die. Amen, Ellie? I told her, don't use heat, use ice. She calls me the next day. I think I need to fill the bathtub with ice and just lay in it all day. She said, I hurt everywhere. Now, wait a second. God grows you by giving you bigger things to do than you think you can. You watch an infant learn how to walk. What do? They take a step and fall down. They stand and fall down. They get one or two steps and boom, down they go, or they go. That's why God builds them close to the ground so they don't fall as far. And their bones and everything's like rubber bands anyway, so back up you go. Eventually they catch on, and they're walking more than they're falling. Then they turn 13 and do it all over again. Their feet are too big for their body. And their brain fell out their ear. And it all happens. Amen? Now, you don't know how much you can do until you try more than you did last time. Let me say that again. You don't know how much you can do until you try more than you did last time. Each and every burden you carry is to make you stronger, not weaker, for the next burden that's coming. That's why in kindergarten, the workload is light. In first grade, it gets a little heavier. In second grade, it adds a little bit more. By third grade, things start getting really hard. Fourth grade, a little bit more. Fifth grade, a little bit more. Sixth grade, you're really starting to hammer into this thing. And by seventh grade, it's full on. By ninth grade, you're earning your credits that you'll take with you the rest of your life. That's why kindergarten and first grade and second grade are more important than the latter years. If you can get the foundation right, the building will be right. But bringing them in late and not having a foundation, it takes a while to catch back up. So, the only way to do bigger things is to do bigger things. Let me say that again. The only way to do bigger things is to do bigger things. At pastors' schools, we had restaurants there on the church property that we would make for available for the delegates. And it's not like we called restaurants to come in and feed these people. No, we had to build them from the time church was out Sunday night until pastor school started Monday afternoon. We had to take Sunday school rooms and convert it into an entire restaurant, fully decorated, fully operational. I ran three. I took over a sub shop. The year before I had it, a different ministry had it, and they made $300 profit for the whole week. That's about like losing money. The first year I had it, I made $7,000 profit in 5 days. It got some attention. I mean, it got a lot of attention. But it didn't stop there. I was only open in afternoons and evenings. And I decided if I started with breakfast, I knew people didn't want to eat sub sandwiches for breakfast. So I asked for permission to start adding bagels to it. Bagels and cream cheese. The next year I made over $10,000 profit. And it kept growing year by year. Say, what'd you do? I kept adding to it. As I would add to it, I got more and more duties. It was amazing. The more successful you are, the more work you get. So, rule number one, if you don't want more work, don't succeed. Yeah. God may give you a heavy load, but he believes you'll be stronger to do more for him than you ever felt possible. I never expected at 58, 59 years old to be helping preachers like I help. I was talking to a guy in his probably early 40s this week. He called me and, "Preacher, I got a burden. Can you help me?" "I can. I've been through that." And I hate the next statement. "I'm so glad I got an older preacher to call." Shut up. Yeah, not far off. What's he mean? You're so experienced. You've been through all this. Yeah, that means you get all the sucky jobs. I get it. But may I say something? I'm glad I've been through those things so I can teach younger guys the ropes so that maybe when it's their turn, it's not quite as hard on them and they can take it another level. My son Josh calls me every week. We talk through things. He's of the age now. He's hitting middle age. That's hard to believe. I'm married to a wife that has a middle-aged son. That just doesn't sound right, amen? Now, wait a second here. There's times he'll say, "Dad, there's times I disagreed with you, but I'm starting to see why you did what you did." Yep. He said, "You know, back then in this, yep. Why did you?" And I explained to it, "Oh, that's why. Because here I got this and this and this and this, and it keeps reminding me of that." And I said, "Oh, if you do that, it'll work." And he's starting to put it together more. Now, he doesn't listen quite as much because I'm still dad, but he's getting there. And I get that. Doesn't bother me. So, God's tasks will always be bigger than your strength. Do you think David really thought he could beat Goliath? He didn't think he could unless God was in it. He said, well, I faced a lion and a bear. I never faced a 9.5, 10-foot-tall giant before. But guess if I could take a lion and a bear, what's the difference? Worst that happens is I go to heaven. Number three. Our doing, not our waiting, is what gives us the needed strength to go on. Our doing, not our waiting, is what gives us the strength to go on. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God's talking about you can take the conditioning process. You can take boot camp. You don't have to wash out in boot camp. Oh, how many times, Brother Kevin, did we hear Brother Hyle say, I can hear the old man in College Chapel right now. This isn't a Bible college. This is a military. This is boot camp. Those aren't dormitories. Those are barracks. If you can't take it here, you'll never make it in the ministry. Boy, was he right. 40 years later, boy, was he right. I look at all the ones that washed out. Say, what happened? They didn't get it. They tried to get around the training. They thought they knew more than the trainers. Much of what we face and much of what we fear is because we want to be God and see the end from the beginning. Let me say that again. Much of what we fear is because we want to see the end and be God. We don't just want to face it and keep going. It's our God complex. We think we have to know the end from the beginning. Let me tell you something. You'll never know the end from the beginning. If you'd asked me 45 years ago if I'd be pastoring this church in this place, I'd have laughed in your face. I just wanted God to use me to do something. So we need to press on and do all we can and keep increasing to do more. In doing all we can do, God gives us strength to carry more than we thought we could carry. Isn't it amazing? You watch somebody who has a heavy burden. And you say, boy, I don't think I could carry that load. You couldn't because you haven't been carrying it all along. Do you hear what I just said? Well, I have an afflicted child. I don't think they have what? And I don't think if that was me, I could carry that load. No, God couldn't trust you with it because you're not strong enough, because you're not willing to put the work in to do it. Hello. But at the same time, they go through more problems with a better attitude. You say, why? Because they've already been carrying a heavy load. And they say, okay, here's another one. I made it through that one. I can get through this one. I don't know how I got through that one, but I kept going. I'll just keep going. Where most preachers fail and leave the ministry or get liberal, it's because they face problems in their life and they don't know what to do, so they quit or they turn and go the other direction instead of keep on plowing through, adding more burdens to it. When we stop and wait for the ability to do it all, we lose the ability and the strength. I know. They that wait upon the Lord, that doesn't mean sit and do nothing. If you went to the restaurant in the last week, there was somebody that came to your table called a waitress or a waiter. They didn't sit down beside you and eat your food while you paid for it. They were the ones that were supposed to be doing the work. God says they that wait, those that serve the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not they that sit on their blessed assurance doing nothing, asking me to do it all. God's not a welfare God. God's not a Democrat. I'm sorry. By the way, when you stop moving, you become a target for the enemy. You know, the easiest target in the world is a stopped one. Those of you men that hunt, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You learn in deer hunting, deer's moving, you got to get him stopped or her stopped. What do you do? They'll stop and pick their head up and look at you. Now, they're only going to stop for about a second or two. But as long as you're on them, that second or two, all you need. See, why do they do that? They heard a noise that's unfamiliar. They're looking around to see what's coming. And just that little, Michael and Mindy FaceTimed us, and they had some donkeys across the street where they were staying. And Hudson was trying to call them. And Michael said, "Tell Papa what you did." I said, "Did it work?" He said, "No, Papa, it didn't work with donkeys." I said, "What does a donkey say?" He's learning. Amen. We're going to get it down. Got to get him. We'll get him. Now, wait a second. What do you do? When you stop, you become an easy target. You get some buck running through the woods that's going about 40 miles an hour, he's not an easy target. You're trying to get a beat on him, and it just sometimes isn't worth it. You say what? Stop target's an easy target. When you quit moving, you become an easy target for the devil. So, we're supposed to do all we can and increase what we do so we don't become an easy target for the devil. Let me finish. In the Christian life, you're to do all you can, and as you do, God gives you strength to do more. I watch it happen. Somebody will get saved, they come to church, they start getting excited. They get baptized, they'll join the church, may even start tithing, might start passing out tracts, and then the family starts getting on them. Pressure starts coming. People they used to know start harassing them a bit. One of two things happen. They either keep going and go right, or they quit Christianity and quit church and go back to what they came from. It's just so hard. No, it's not hard. Just keep going. You don't have to separate from the world. They'll separate from you as long as you're living for God. Yeah. You know, I don't get offered liquor and drugs and things. Say why? They don't do that for preachers. They don't do that to a Christian that's living the right way. That means going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, tithing, witnessing, reading your Bible every day, learning to pray, all those things. Say, but preacher, the Christian life is just so hard. It's not hard to do those five things. Not hard at all. But do you want strength? That's why you can't work your way to heaven. Say why? You can't carry the burden Jesus carried. You couldn't carry the load he carried because he did it perfectly, without sin. That means this. Quit trying to carry God's load, just carry the load he gives you. Quit whining and complaining about the load that's yours, pick it up and keep moving. Say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I can. He's always going to give you something bigger than you think you can. But once you get through it, when I taught my boys how to mow grass, there's two handles on a lawnmower for a reason. One for the short ones and one for the taller ones. Them little boys would be pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and they ain't pushing very much. But boy, they get to a point someday that they can even reach the big boy bar. And then it's... Oh. Say, what'd you do? I let him push and struggle. Then it was, you push a row, I'll push a row. Then it was, you push half the yard, and I'll push a couple rows, and you can finish. Then it was, it's your job to mow. Then they left home, and it was my job to mow, and I got self-propelled, amen? Say what? Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. Now, wait a second here. Yeah, I don't need a rider for mine. It's too small. Now, wait a second. Why did you let them struggle? Because that's what made them strong. I made them do things that were tougher than they could do. We went and cut wood. And they had to try to pick up logs I knew they couldn't pick up. But I wanted them to try. Then I pick it up with them. Then they learned how to pick up logs bigger than what they thought they could pick up. Say why? Because they kept trying and trying and trying. Now both of them are too strong, and I ain't even thinking about getting whooped by either one of them. I got one that could break you in half just looking at you. Wait a second. How did they get that way? They just kept adding to the load. Each and every time. And that's how you get strong in the Christian life. God didn't say you wait till you have the strength to do it. God says you do it, and in the process of doing, you'll get the strength needed to do what he gave you to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can take what's on your plate. You can take what you're facing and get through it and be stronger. Amen. That's what he's saying. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How do you get real strength? I just gave you the recipe. God will give you more than you can ever think at first you're going to handle. Don't get mad. Just start working. Just start plowing. It's a preacher somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. You raise your hand. God bless you. Many, 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 many hands. Maybe wait to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Make an altar of the chair where you're at if you can't make it. But will you truly get strength for the Christian life?